Stand Up for the Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. This is Stand Up for the Truth, educating, empowering, and connecting Christians to stand on God's Word and truth.
A man who won't stand up for his own principles is not really a man at all.
Get involved by emailing comments at standupforthetruth.com.
You can't handle the truth!
Now, here's the host of Stand Up for the Truth, Mike LeMay.
Pointing you to the love and hope of Jesus Christ in an increasingly dark and deceptive world. Good Wednesday morning. Mike LeMay and David Fiorazzo, welcome to another edition of Stand Up for the Truth. By God's grace and by your help, completing our seventh year on air. And a very tough subject to talk about today and tomorrow, but we're going to get to it after David opens us in prayer.
Father, thank you so much for this day that you have made. Thank you for waking us up, giving our hearts, life, and our breath in our lungs, and you just give us the ability to do what you call us to do every day through the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we are not without help or hope, and we thank you that you've given us a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We praise you for your goodness. We thank you that we have absolute truth that we can stand on in your word, and that you are a God who never changes, and yet you promise to be with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us. So in these times when things around us are kind of spinning out of control and appearing very confused and, of course, immoral, we know that we can trust you, that you are not surprised. So help us not be surprised, but to be able to minister to people who you bring along our path on a daily basis. We commit this day to you and this time, just this hour, Lord, that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. Our topic today, the cesspool of American culture. You know, if you're old enough to remember life in America in the 1950s and 60s as I am, you'd remember that the culture of entertainment was much different back then. You could actually watch television with your children without fear of them being bombarded with messages of overt sexuality. And you also trusted public education to actually teach math and history, instead of indoctrinating your children into believing evolution, becoming little earth muffins, and being encouraged to explore sexuality in ways that contradict the Bible. As they say, those were the good old days. But today our youth are being inundated, they're being indoctrinated, and a sad reality is that the influence of parents wanting to raise their children in Christian values is becoming more and more difficult. Well, joining us this morning, as she does once a month, to discuss what is passing for entertainment these days and how we can help counter it as parents is our good friend Tina Griffin of Counter Culture Mom. Tina, welcome back to Stand Up for the Truth.
Hey, Mike, Dave, thanks a lot for having me come back on again. It's like, where do you start? You know, where do you start? At least we can see black and white. So, yes, thank you for having me on.
Good morning, Tina. And how about if we start at a good resource for parents? Of course, we've heard a couple good things recently about PureFlix. And I just wanted to talk to you about, a friend of mine told me last week, then I saw you promoted on your website, you interviewed the CEO of PureFlix Digital. And while you were discussing the management of our time, he talked about a recent survey that said from birth to age 17, kids will have been exposed to 65,000 hours of digital media. And let me just break that down. I want to get your comments on it. 32 times more hours than they'll actually spend in school, 61 times more than they'll spend with their parents, and 81 times more than they'll spend in church. Tina, in your honest opinion, since we know the secular culture has more influence on young people today, including Christian children, who's really raising Christian kids, and what can we do to combat this?
I definitely couldn't agree more with what you just said. The statistics are out there very clear. It's definitely our entertainment industry, pop culture, and that's why I know God put on my heart when I was 16, 17 to go to Green Bay, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and then transfer to Cal State Los Angeles for my film and television broadcasting degree, because I saw as a teenager how my friends and even myself were being influenced by media, and that was when it was 90210 and Melrose Place. You know, and TGIF, all those fun shows on a Friday night, which still back then there were some corruption going on with the messages, but nowhere near what's going on today in pop culture. So media, yes. Pop culture, definitely the highest influences in our kids' minds, brains, how their worldview is shaped. And you are right on with the stats. In fact, the last 10, 15 years of speaking, I had a statistic and a thing in my keynote, my Hollywood Exposed show, when I do these live presentations, that you have between 40 and 60 hours a week of media going into our child's brain, and yet 38 minutes with intelligent conversation with the parents, of just getting to know, you know, child and parent relationship.
Wow.
38 minutes a week versus 40 to 60 hours. And so I know that's why I became so passionate to get out there in Hollywood and learn and then educate parents, because I knew that Hollywood was the major problem, our pop culture. And so a great resource that you just talked about is PureFlix. In fact, I did a show, like you said, last week with Greg, and I was saying, let's get rid of nasty Netflix and get the purity of PureFlix in our home. And the exciting thing about all this is the fact that there are positive solutions today with amazing, high-quality Christian films and TV shows and series on PureFlix. I mean, when I was a kid, and you could probably agree, the stuff back then when I was a teenager was cheesy. You know, it was, you were embarrassed to tell your friends about a new Christian film that came out. Well, today they're phenomenal. There's a new show on PureFlix called The Encounter, where it's everyday situations of people going through difficult issues. One episode was called The Disconnect, where all the family members were in their own rooms on their own tech devices. Mom is making dinner. She wants everyone to sit down and have a family meal, and she becomes, you know, just frustrated because she's fighting with the family. He has all get together, and yet they have an electrical blowout there. The storm rolls through the town, and their all electricity goes out. They're like, what do we do? How can we survive without our tech gadgets? It's hilarious. But the electrician to come fix the problem is the main character of the show, which is actually Jesus. And he walks through them, and they're like, hey, it looks like you have a disconnection here with the electricity, as in disconnect with your family. And that's just one episode of many, and how Christ is in these episodes through this man. And it's just hilarious because the way he talks to the people in a loving, sometimes convicting manner, but it's done so well. That episode was life-changing to me. And these are the types of shows that need to be on primetime TV. So to see PureFlix do what they're doing, hands down the best source of positive entertainment for our families, because our kids get to learn godly situations and issues that might, or situations and issues that might arise, how do we solve it in a godly, God-honoring way? And PureFlix does that. It's real situations. They don't like sugarcoat it, but they give the right solutions for those problems. And so it's great. I say ditch nasty Netflix. Let's get that on there, because there's too many bad things going on with Netflix right now. And PureFlix families, jump on board. Online, I have the interview with Greg Gudorf, and you can look it up on my counterculturemom.com page. It's the second story down. Click on it, watch the interview, and he breaks down why their company loves doing what they do, what their mission is, and the fact that they also give back. So excellent resource for families today.
Thank you.
Tina, we know that, and all of us who grew up went through this, that our mother and father should really be the most important influences in our lives. But let's just face reality here. All of us as teenagers at one time or another fall subject to peer pressure. And things like PureFlix, I think, are great for parents. But the reality also is that no matter how much we try to shelter our children, they're going to see this. Friends are going to encourage them to see this. They're going to feel pressure in public school. It's a very difficult thing for parents these days, I think, you can't wrap your kids in a cocoon until they're 18 and send them out in the world. But to just address the things they are seeing that maybe you don't want them to see, and really to sit down with them and talk through it. So can you address a little bit as a parent how we try to bring good quality entertainment to our children, with the reality of understanding there's a whole world out there that's telling them the exact opposite of what we're trying to share with them?
Yes, and that's the hard part, because there is that peer pressure. I can say that my parents did an excellent job with us three kids back home. Of course, they have a farm right outside of Green Bay there in Pulaski. And they were careful with what we watched and the friends we hung out with and the influences that came into our home. Granted, they were busy farming 24/7, but they still took the time to sit down with us. My mom, in fact, and I know you're listening now, a huge thing that really helped me was she would sit down with us every single night, and she would read Bible scripture with us. She would read stories about Jesus. And because she was so involved in praying with us and making sure that we got scripture every day, in fact, I remember her many times saying, you're not going to play Nintendo for your 15 minutes until homework is done and we do our scripture Bible reading for the day. And I think that helped because, yes, I went to public school. Yes, there were people doing drugs, having sex and everything else, and being influenced by our pop culture. And I saw shows I shouldn't have saw as a kid, but I knew better. I knew the difference between this is something that's not of God and this is of God just because I had scripture as my foundation. And granted, today the onslaught is so much more horrific, but I just want to encourage parents listening. You can do it. It's worth the investment. Definitely daily read scripture to your kids and break down that pop culture. I mean, my kids are 8 and under. I have 4 of them, and if Jake would see something by chance on a commercial or at a friend's house and he's talking about it afterwards, he's the one coming to me saying, Tina, I saw something that wasn't good. It's this commercial. I had this in it, and that's not right. And what does that mean? He already has the eyes to see as an 8-year-old that there's corruption going on with the media, but is able to see that it is wrong. So I completely agree with the cocoon. We can't shelter our kids. The reason why I homeschool, and I will tell parents right now, if you're listening, you're saying, there's no way I can homeschool. It's so not for me. I'm not patient enough with my kid. You can do it. With Christ, you can do it. I was living in the air speaking 20, 30 times a month, had the 4 kids, obviously had to start slowing down my speaking in the air. But I've realized that I have to homeschool my kids probably my entire life or send them to a Christian school just because of how bad it's gotten over the years. And even Dr. James Dobson had a recent guest on his family talk show that was urging Christian parents, all parents, but especially those that want their kids to be raised in the faith, pull your kids out of public schools because it's gotten that bad. Mm. So scripture every day is key so they can see the difference. If the kids want to hang out with friends that are non-Christian kids, my advice would be have them come to your house. That way you can be a witness to those kids. You can show them a Christ-centered environment. You can monitor better what your kids are seeing. And really, you're helping out your kid across the street see something that is godly versus the stuff they might be fed at their own house for whatever reason. But I think that's key. Youth group and being involved with church. We have to have our kids involved with church. And, of course, just monitor who they're being friends with. The other thing I want to point out with that whole question, because there's so many different things, angles we could talk on, is that I'll get parents that say, Tina, we have to be the light of the world. We've got to get our kids in the dark places. And I would say to that, yes, that we should be in the world. But today we have school systems that are teaching elementary school kids to read graphic sexual content, mm-hmm. to learn how to read. As a 6, 7, 8-year-old kid who shouldn't even be exposed to anything regarding sex yet, and you have a school board that enforces it and says, sorry, parents, this is what we're teaching. We have to get to the point where we just say, God, give us the strength and show us the way to teach our own kids, because we can't let our kids be educated by a corrupted school system that is teaching everything that's the opposite of what Christ is telling us how to live.
Tina, I'm loving the way this segment is going right now, because we started out really with, of course, prayer, but we start out with the solution on what we can do, and that's support things like PureFlix, which we've got linked up on our website, and we have your link on our website as well. They've got a 30-day free trial going on. So we started with that. Now we need to get into some of the soul pollution, for a lack of better words. You mentioned the buzz going on about 13 Reasons Why, which I don't know much about. That's why we have you on the program. It's a series, and I understand it's on Netflix. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I can. And I wanted to quickly, I thought of something while you were asking this next question. Just for the parents out there thinking, Tina, you don't get it. I have to work. I can't homeschool my kids. I want to give you, but I want to. I want them out of public school. check to see in your area. I know Green Bay has an amazing Christian school out there. A friend of mine sends all of her kids there. They're doing fantastic. They're leaders in their community as 10, 11, 12-year-old girls. So just amazing things are happening in Green Bay. You guys have that selection, that solution. And then also see if that's not a possibility. Do you have another friend who is a homeschool mom that wouldn't mind schooling your kids and work together? You know, she teaches your kids. You do this for her. There are other solutions. God will show you another path, another way, if you are one of those moms thinking, what do? I want them out, but I can't physically teach them myself. Yes, 13 Reasons Why. I am learning. This is just literally breaking the news waves here. It was released the beginning of April, and it's on Netflix. It's called 13 Reasons Why. It stars Katherine Langford and Dylan Minnette, and it depicts the persecutors of young Hannah, each discovering tapes left behind for them prior to her suicide. It's a storyline about this girl's journey before she commits suicide. Suicide is glamorized. It is filled with rape, homosexual sex, masturbation, drunken parties, emotional cruelty, sexual scenes, even a graphic depiction of teen suicide. One of my friends wrote about this in detail, so just reading her side, and we're two peas in a pod here, this is what this show is showing. Now, the problem that we have with this is that it is rated for TVMA, which means mature audiences only. The problem with this, guys, is that anybody can get on Netflix on any tech device, and they can be watching this series, and they could be a 10-year-old kid. And if kids are having the buzz at school, oh, my gosh, you got to check out this new series. You know, it's rated the best show in years by Forbes. Selena Gomez is the executive producer. So you got this hot celebrity that a lot of kids look up to. They want to watch her show, and yet it's TVMA, and yet many, many millions of young kids are now. In fact, the fan page, when I checked it yesterday, I believe has over 1 million hits. They're not adults that are liking their page. It's young kids that are should not be watching it, according to the rating on the show. But the good thing about it is it's causing conversation to be had. There are parents saying, we watched the whole series. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, I had that conversation on my Facebook page yesterday. Then you had a mom chime in and said, I saw the entire series. It is filled with exactly what I said, masturbation, homosexual sex, rape, all the rest. She goes, I would never let anyone watch a series, including adults. And her video is in my Pop Culture Alert video on my YouTube channel. And you can get all this information through the different logos and stuff through my website, Counterculture Mom. All to say, I would rather be safe than sorry when it comes to programs like this. And the issue we have, once again, is just because it's rated a certain rating that it should only be for a certain audience, which in my book, no one should see it at all. I would rather err on the side of caution and say, steer clear from Netflix or get the safety tips and tools to know exactly what is being allowed to be shown to your tech devices. And that's why I had the Covenant Eyes, one of the head guys from Covenant Eyes, on my Hollywood Insider show yesterday, because he gave great tips on how to keep pornography, negative, harmful entertainment and media from even coming through your tech devices for anyone to see. And I have another guy coming on my show in 2 weeks on May 16th, I believe. I'm looking at the dates. Yep, May 16th. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Facebook Live.
Tina?
Sorry. I'm back. Sorry.
Hey, Tina, listen, we're up against a break anyway, but let's continue this discussion on 13 Reasons Why with Tina Griffin of Counterculture Mom when we come back.
If you want to contact us about any of the topics discussed today, email your questions to comments at standupforthetruth.com. Stand Up for the Truth will continue in a moment. This is Stand Up for the Truth. Call in your questions now at 1-800-979-9010 nationwide. Now back to Mike LeMay.
Our final segment with Tina Griffin, Counterculture Mom. Tina, this 13 Reasons Why video, and you've mentioned there's a lot of pornography in it, excessive sexuality. Now, somebody might say, but look, Tina, we got to talk to our children about the reality of suicide. It's just climbing the charts. I mean, so many children don't know where to turn for a variety of reasons. Are there good alternatives to talking to our children about suicide without letting them watch this movie that's full of sexuality?
Yes, I highly agree there is. I think the biggest thing is communication. In fact, that's what I got for an argument from one parent saying, hey, I want my kids to know about these topics because it's out there, it's real. But my challenge to parents is this. God tells us in his word to steer clear from any sexual graphic content, from anything that is vulgar, violent. He hates violence. He doesn't want suicide and murder to be glamorized or even for our eyes to see it, to stay pure in what we have going into our minds and hearts from what we hear, what we see. So honestly, you know, we want to, first and foremost, make sure that we are doing what God's called us to do to protect ourselves from the harmful content. But the argument to go to just have people think about this whole aspect is if we have a communication with our kids, we can let them know, hey, here's why we don't agree with this series. Here's God's word in it, and just share with them. God wants us to steer clear from it and share what suicide is. Like, actually, Jake knew that something was going on because I was talking in, you know, on a couple different radio shows this week about this series. And after the call, Jake's like, hey, I overheard you talking about suicide. What is that? What happened? Well, my husband actually made a suicide attempt. He should not have survived in his early 20s. We did a segment on YouTube as well for that. So we shared with Jake here, my husband actually shared with Jake, dad, what took place, what it is, how Satan can attack, but without having him have to see a suicide take place, without having him have to watch something that's glamorized in the media that goes against God's word, and just say, we want to steer clear from it, and give them the scripture to back up why we want to protect them from actually having to see it. Because honestly, guys, my urgency for the last how many years doing this and speaking about this topic is that when Hollywood shows something that depicts violence, sex, murder, drinking, sexting, texting, all of it, cutting, there's so many studies out there that show that that is actually advertising the very behavior that our parents, us as parents, don't want our kids to do. So it gives the kids ideas of what to go out and try. That's why cutting's on the rise. That's why premarital sex is on the rise. That's why people are drinking and driving and thinking there's no consequences. Well, the media has been glamorizing that and not showing someone dying of a drinking and driving accident. Mm-hmm. And so by letting them see a series like 13 Reasons Why, it's giving kids ideas of what to do, which is exactly the opposite of what we want as parents for our kids to do. We don't want them to do drunken parties, be cruel to others, engage in sexual activity. And so we have to steer them clear from that because they're learning, using it as a learning tool. Here's what's hip, in, and cool. Not here's what we should steer clear from.
Well, Tina, I don't want to be redundant. I was going to ask you about the primetime show, very well known, that a lot of kids are watching called The Mick. But before we go there, because it's just as vulgar, perverse, it's anti-Christian, and some parents might even not know if they don't watch a lot of TV, but their kids are watching it. But while I do want to ask you, what happened to the FCC and the movie rating system that I think came along in the early 70s, perhaps, that's supposed to protect families and young children from sex, violence, profanity, vulgarity? How have TV and movie ratings changed through the years, and they don't seem to censor much anymore?
Not at all, and you're right on. The Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, I think there's a couple different ways we can address this. Number one, if parents see something that is completely absurd, which a majority of content today is, we need to be calling the FCC. I think either people watch it thinking it's not that big of a deal, this is just our state of the world today. Well, if we compare it with scripture, we should be turning it off and we should be calling the FCC. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage families out there, call the Federal Communication Commission, express your concern about this show, because if we complain about it, I read somewhere a stat, this is like several years ago, that for every complaint that goes into the FCC, there's approximately 17,000 other people that feel the exact same way for every call that goes in.
Wow.
But they're not doing anything about it. And wow. So that tells me a majority of our country wants the perverse off the tube, but we're not being engaged in our culture today. So that's the part where be in the world, but not of it. Be in the world means if we see something wrong, we call in and we voice our concern. And then the FCC will go ahead and say, man, there are a lot of complaints. We need to start doing what our country wants. The other major factor we can do is not watch the program. If we turn it off, the ratings go down because the advertisers pull their advertising from that show because of a lack of viewership. And so if we actually don't watch it and we tell our neighbors not to watch it, it's like a grassroots program here in America. And I really think that we're in the mode of let's show our entertainment and our media that we mean business and we're standing up for God and starting this counterculture crusade. That's what I'm so passionate about. Mm. I know you guys are too, and the viewers and the listeners here today. Calling in, voicing our concern, turning off the TV, advertisers pull from the show goes off the air. And then in turn, we have shows that hopefully will start being created by Hollywood that actually pertains to what our country wants. Mm. Even movies today, the top box office hits are the ones that are positive, not the ones that show the sex, drugs, and alcohol. I mean, who wants to go spend $10-$15 leave 2 hours later and they feel suicidal? I really wish that Hollywood would catch on to what America is asking for. They want positive entertainment. That's why I think it'd be so cool. Like I told Greg last week, if I would see Hollywood studios crumble to the ground, no one in them, of course. I don't want anyone getting injured. Everyone, Christ died for everybody here. But just so they crumble to the ground and we can show them, hey, our nation was founded on Christian beliefs and values. We want that back again. We weren't doing anything for the last 2-3 decades. It's time to get our country back on track. And by doing these things, not watching and calling FCC and tuning into PureFlix, we will definitely be making a statement to Hollywood that if they don't start pumping out positive, we're no longer going to partake in their propaganda.
Excellent point.
You know, Tina, it is fascinating to me because we were always of the mindset that entertainment reflected the values of culture. But I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind, if they're sane, that it's gone from a reflection of culture to also an agenda-driven program, where really it used to be entertainment reflected what we thought as Americans. Now entertainment is telling us what we should think and believe as Americans.
I can't even believe that this is a total God moment right now on your program. I can't even believe that you're saying what you're saying, because I just talked to somebody else about this yesterday, the exact same thing. In fact, I wish I could find the quote quick. If I can, I'll get his exact words. But I just talked to someone yesterday that Oliver Stone, a huge director in Hollywood, about 10 years ago, I have video footage somewhere on my YouTube channel, he literally said, as there's a violent scene in the background of a drive-by shooting and people falling to the ground, blood splattering all over the place, he said, we only want to create movies that are showing what our culture is currently like out there, parents. Tune in. We're just reflecting what our country has turned to today. And when I saw that quote, which was such an eye-opener for me, I'm thinking, you have such power in creating film and TV to put positive back in our country again. If, yes, our country's corrupted, I think Hollywood has a big reason. They're a big contributor to our issues today in our culture. But Hollywood, please, let's just pray for these people, because if they became believers and saw the power that they had with creating film and TV shows to create positive entertainment, our issues in our country would not be nearly as horrific as they are today. So the power of media is so huge in our culture today, and that's why we have to grasp onto the positive. But filmmakers have a responsibility to pump out positive content to create future leaders in our country that will be able to take care of the very people creating the graphic sexual content. Do they want kids raised on their own content in 20 years from now to be taking care of them? No way. And yet they're promoting something that's killing our country.
Yes, and you also made an excellent point earlier that the top-selling blockbusters, the top-selling movies, I think for the last 15 years, at least starting in the late 90s or 2000, have been either G-rated or family-friendly movies that have done the best at the box office. And it's not even close when you look at the numbers and the amounts. But let's jump to a subject we wanted to touch on today, because this is an influential guy. He's not a scientist, but he plays one on TV. Bill Nye, the science guy, he's got a Netflix series that launched, and it's full of vulgarities and anti-Christian. They take God's name in vain, crude humor, and young people are being attracted to this. Tina, I know you wanted to touch on this. I believe you brought it up in an email we had exchanged a couple days ago.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I'm thinking of stuff you asked me earlier, so I just want to make one more quick statement about the FCC and the rating system.
Sure.
The rating system, I was on the Film Society Board in Hollywood when I was there for several years, and we got to preview movies ahead of time, and then give our suggestions before leaving on how to improve the films. I love being on that. I don't even know how I got my name on the list for that, but I was honored to be a part of that. Point is, I learned through the process that the rating system was drastically changing. So, yes, they have the rating system today, which I actually address on my blog, Counterculture Mom, just for rating system. You'll find my blog on this. But the problem that we have is a R-rated movie, I should say a PG-13 movie today would have been an R-rated movie 3-4 years ago.
No doubt, yeah.
They've totally lowered the standards. And, in fact, our filmmakers in Hollywood, going to so many different sessions and learning from these people, they don't say, let's protect families and make sure we have hardly any sexual content, no vulgarity, no misuses of God's name in the movie. They're the complete opposite. How many sexual scenes can we jam-pack in here before we are then flagged as having to make this an R? Oh, okay, 52 scenes, let's make it 51 scenes, and that way we can still keep it as a PG-13. Mm-hmm. So that has changed drastically. Yes, Bill Nye, he released, I don't even know how people can do this, and it's not illegal, first of all. He's being called in many different nasty names online and different blog posts. I don't think that's the answer. I think name-calling isn't going to help him grow closer to Christ. What I think is, and if he gets who Christ is, he'll have a major influence on our generation, so we have to definitely pray for Bill Nye. Mm-hmm. But he released a video called Sex Junk. It doesn't take a rocket science to come up with that name for the video. What floors me is what's in it. Once again, they have singers in this that Rachel Bloom is the main singer from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. She's the rapper. I'm not kidding you. My 3-year-old daughter, Stella, could rap better than Rachel Bloom. The performance, she doesn't know how to sing. Not to rip on her, but she doesn't know how to sing, and what she is singing is all about perverted sex. It's homosexual sexuality agenda that's promoted in it. It's anal sex, oral sex. I mean, seriously, I don't even know how in-depth to go with it to not be too graphic on the radio program today, but it is horrible. There's hundreds of thousands of views on a guy called Mark Dice on YouTube. He did a whole video on it explaining the contents of the video. He labeled it the most cringy thing in human history, and I really have to agree with the guy. He's actually originally from Milwaukee, which is pretty cool. But Mark Dice has this on there, and he breaks it down. It's just a show that is not related with science. It's a completely opposite from science content and who Christ called us to be and how we're created, male and female. And Bill Nye, he shouldn't even be allowed to be on Netflix. Once again, Netflix is just going down the tubes with what they promote. Mm-hmm. But here's the little more in-depth thing after talking with a friend this week that is alarming to me. Bill Nye's science background and education is in a majority of our American schools today. And so when kids are being educated in school about Bill Nye, they then go to Netflix and they say, oh my gosh, Bill Nye, I know all about him. We learn about him in school and his whole tactics with science. And then they become a fan of his show, and the show is very, very graphic. Anyone, Christian or not, would easily say hands down, why is this even on Netflix?
Hmm. Tina, one last thing before we cut you loose. We know you got an interview, and I have no idea what this is, but you tell me you're saying parents got to be careful for this. Online grooming of our children, what is that and what's the danger in it?
There's a couple different stories that I put out on recent blog posts and my pop culture alerts where I share a couple stories of kids that were killed by online predators. Now, does this happen, 5,000 cases a day? It's not to that point yet, but it's skyrocketing on with our kids in our homes today. And how this happens with online grooming is especially through video games, which I address. There's at least 3 or 4 people that I address in that pop culture alert on my YouTube channel, which I give a lot more detail info. But kids go on video games. There's chat rooms in video games that they can then start talking with people. And the other person on the other end might say they're a 17-year-old kid. They live another town over. They start becoming buddies on video games. And that's exactly what happens. They end up meeting in person, and these online predators kill these young kids, put them into sex trafficking, rape these kids. It's so disturbing, and it's becoming a huge, huge issue because of our technology and the online, specifically gaming, which is causing predators to start grooming. And grooming basically is becoming a friend of the other kid that's online, becoming a gaming partner, showing interest in the kid with who they are. The one story that I covered in the Pop Culture Alert, the mom was battling against this kid who turned out to be a 21-year-old guy from the next, really was the next town over. And that guy was telling her son, you don't need your mom. She's just telling you what to do. What are your issues in your life? And he'd tell him a couple issues. Oh, you do this, this, and this. And just became a friend that caused animosity to be raised between the mom and the son, where the son took the side of the predator, met him at his house, and the guy raped the young kid and then killed him. And this is happening all over the place, the online grooming issues. And that's why I think it's critical, and that's why I was talking about it earlier. Matt McKee is going to be my guest coming up in 2 weeks on Hollywood Insider, and he has a book called Parent Chat, The Technology Talk for Every Family. He's going to be sharing how we can keep our kids safe while they are online, specifically and especially gaming, because a lot of grooming happens through video gaming when they're gaming online with other people.
Well, Tina, we appreciate all of your work, and thank you so much for educating us and not only pointing out the problems as you do so well, but really pointing to solutions. And we'll make sure that our notes are from the interview are on our website. We just appreciate all your work and look forward to talking to you in the month of June.
No worries, and I just wanted to quickly mention, if anyone listening is thinking about going to Kingdom Bound, I am speaking at that event. It's been a 13-year process here in the making, but I'm speaking there at the end of July, kingdombound.org. Check out the website. And if they go to my website, counterculturemom.com, right-hand sidebar, I give out a free guide, the top 10 ways to protect your kids from the pop culture attack. All you have to do is enter their email address, their name, and join this counterculture crusade with me on this journey, and then obviously connect with me on the Facebook page, because there I'm sharing stories every single day of what's going on that we need to be aware of, and the positive TV shows that do exist, the positive role models that our kids can follow.
You're a warrior, and we love you, sis. Thank you so much.
I love you guys, too. Thank you so much. Anything you guys need, just let me know.
You can count on that, my friend. Thanks. You so much. Tina Holowinski, Counterculture Mom, all the links set up. Dave's got them already set up because he's that efficient at standupforthetruth.com. When we come back, a couple of comments on our show today and a little more discussion on other news items.
Missed a recent show? Catch up anytime on our free app, q90fm.com/app. Click on podcasts. Stand Up for the Truth. We'll continue in a moment. If you want more info on the topics of today's show, then visit standupforthetruth.com. Now, back to Mike LeMay.
A couple comments just came in from our time with Tina. Our good friend Ray said, Mike and Dave, in 1972, I took a psychology 101 course in college, and my final paper was on, quote, why sex is becoming younger. And at that time, I pointed to the media and music as major cause. This is before I became a Christian. It was typed with a manual typewriter. Boy, you're as old as I am, way before the internet, and I received an A for it. I saw this coming back in the early 70s, so nothing surprises me. It was a matter of time. Also, we have been with PureFlix for over a year. We dropped Netflix after 6 months. The Encounter show that Tina mentioned is great, and can't wait for the next series. It is interesting, Dave, in my latest book, The Death of Christian Thought, I talk about the power of the unconscious brain, how everything you ever hear, see, taste, smell gets stored in that unconscious brain, this incredible computer that God put in human beings, if you will. And one of the things that I do on occasion, just to remind myself of how these images and words that we heard at a young age are always stored, I'll flip on a secular radio station from time to time, very rarely, and I'll hear a song that I haven't heard in 35 or 40 years, and I can remember every word.
Yeah.
And it is just amazing how the images our young children are seeing, the things they're seeing on television, the things they're seeing on the internet, these never go away. And we just have to learn how to process them and make sure they don't influence us as adults. And, you know, our good friend Chuck Towns does a presentation, and if you're interested, let us know. It's called Media in the Mind.
Music, Media in the Mind.
Music, Media in the Mind. And it is phenomenal and gives great education to parents and church leaders. We think we can cocoon our children, and, you know, not let them see these things. But there's a whole world out there that probably doesn't believe what you believe as a parent. And there's no way we can cocoon our children, because eventually they're going to be 18 and off to college, and you're not going to have as much influence. So, you know, and we're going to talk about this article Friday about a lady who calls herself a Christian who had four boys, and she said, I recently discovered one of them was really a girl. It's a really heartbreaking article. Yeah. It really is. It's very, very sad. My heart breaks for this woman, and we're going to talk about this Friday at length about what do we do with this when all of a sudden someone we know, or maybe you as a parent, is faced with the reality you've raised your children to the best of your ability, and he or she comes home and says, I'm not really a boy, I'm a girl. What a heartbreak. And how do we respond to it as Christians with truth and love? It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, this was a three-year-old, three-and-a-half-year-old, and it is. You're right, Mike. I read it, and it is heartbreaking. And at the same time, you think, boy, Lord, I know you haven't changed, and your word hasn't changed, and science and biology hasn't changed, but people are really struggling with this. Yeah. So I think it's a good one to get into. But you were talking about music, media, and the mind, and songs we heard growing up. There's one. I've been researching world religions recently a little bit more, looking into things that I really hadn't learned before. And I completely overlooked. I was studying the New Age. And remember that song Aquarius?
Yeah, the fifth dimension.
Yeah, where it ends with Let the Sunshine In. It's been used in many movies through the years, and you want to sing along. It's a feel-good song, but I've recognized it. I probably sang along myself, but I went and looked at the lyrics for the first time. Have you read the lyrics?
Oh, yeah. I can. If you played the music right now, I could sing the entire song.
Exactly.
That's how the unconscious brain works.
Well, this is amazing. And you know, think about the New Age and what it teaches about many gods, or a very impersonal God, or this coming age that's going to be this blissful, peaceful time of unification with, you know, not our understanding of God, but the New Age understanding of God. And it's, you know, talking about harmony, understanding,
sympathy and trust above.
Yeah, more falsehoods or derisions, golden living dreams of visions. Mystic crystal revelation, and the mind's true liberation.
Yeah.
Think about that. Yeah. But it starts off, the song starts out when the moon is in the seventh house.
Yeah. And totally Jupiter is aligned with Mars.
When the planets align, yeah. Right? It talks about then peace will guide the planets, love will steer the stars, the dawning of the age of Aquarius. It's an anti-Christian age. Basically what they are envisioning, Mike, and I believe from what I've been learning about this recently, their version of this Messiah that's going to come, and this age that's going to come, we look at that. That's the Antichrist. When we study Scripture, it's the Antichrist. This Christ that they're thinking it's going to bring peace or whatever. It's really a deception.
And you know how
a counterfeit.
How you cross from that counterfeit to something that can seem real is a book like Rob Bell's Love Wins. You know, all we got to do is love, because love wins in the end. The one that wins in the end is Jesus Christ, the one who will judge every man. And you know what? There will be somewhat of an age of where peace abounds, where love abounds, but it is reserved for those who confess of their sinful nature and throw themselves in the mercy of Jesus Christ. We will live in eternal peace and harmony and love, and there'll be no bitterness, no sin, no tears. Yeah. But what the world teaches, and what people like Rob Bell are trying to teach in Love Wins, is don't worry, we all get there one day. You know, and even, you know what, I believe in God, but even if you reject God, you're going to go to hell for a little while, and, you know, a loving God would never let you stay there forever. Hmm. A loving God has given us a way out of eternal damnation. We have to choose it.
Yeah.
So, which segues me to something I wanted to share from a personal point. let me gather my thoughts here for a second. My sister Cindy died yesterday morning. She was the youngest of my two sisters. We used to lovingly call her Chicky. For some reason, my dad called her Chicky, and I can remember so many good times with her. There was a commercial on TV about roasted chicken, and they had a little ditty that went along with it, and I'd be watching it with Cindy, and I'd grab her arm, and I'd pretend to gnaw on her arm and say, I just love roasted chicken, and we'd laugh and have some good times. You know, so she died yesterday morning after a sudden illness, a respiratory illness. They had her on a breathing tube, and the family decided to take her off and see if she could survive, and she could not. And it gets me thinking, Dave, and I was talking to some men last night, that as you get older, you go to a lot more funerals than you do weddings. Mm. And if you talk to any pastor or minister of the gospel, they'll tell you that doing a funeral when you do not intimately know if that person is a believer or not is the toughest thing to do. Mm. You've got family members around that need comfort when they've lost a loved one. You've got family members who are reliving regrets over unsolved issues. We often hear he's in a better place without any assurance. And again, you ask any pastor or minister, they'll tell you that the, when their phone rings and says, "Pastor, can you do this funeral for so-and-so? You don't know him, but it's the toughest thing we have to do." So Cindy had been struggling for years with this, but it really came on over the last couple of weeks. And over the past couple of years, as we would get together for our annual family Christmas gathering, I would share the gospel with my sister and brother and nephews and nieces. And you share the gospel, and you never quite know, is it being received? You'd kind of hear the, "Yeah, I know that. I get that." And, you know, and it's not our job to save anyone. It's our job to share the truth and to share the good news of the gospel. Well, I went to the hospital day before yesterday to see, and I had not realized they had taken the tube out. And the tube was out, and the family was around. And I said, is Chickie any better? And they said, no. She was really gasping for life. She ended up dying yesterday morning. But it was amazing, Dave. Over the past couple of days before I visited her yesterday, I kept beating myself up a little bit and saying, could I have shared the gospel one more time? Could I have said something different? Should I have quoted a different scripture? And yet I found the peace in realizing that I'm just the vessel, and all I can do is deliver the message. But I had been praying over the last couple of days, Lord, would you just reach through this fog, this semi-comatose state she's in? Would you send the right person, if she is awake, to share the gospel one more time with her? And that was just my prayer, that that she would, if she had not, that she would confess herself as a sinner before the Lord and put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, when I walked in day before yesterday, she was able to be awake for a couple moments at a time. And one of the times her eyes opened, and I went and held her hand, and she recognized me. And we had a laugh. I just said to her, I said, "Hey, Chickie," I said, "you know what's going on here?" And she nodded. And I said, "Have you just turned to God at this time?" I said, "You know, we live forever, our souls. Have you turned to the Lord? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? And have you put your complete faith and trust in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins?" And she looked at me, and her eyes opened up, and she squeezed my hand. She said, "Mike, I have. I do trust him." And within a couple hours, she had passed away. I can't sit here on the air today and say, I know I will see my sister in heaven. I don't know. What I do know is that God is righteous, just, and holy, and his mercy is far more abounding than anything we realize. But I thank the Lord that I had one more opportunity to share the gospel with her. And I just say this, and I appreciate you giving me the mic for a few minutes of a personal reflection, but I just wanted to share this to encourage with you. If you have family members and friends or coworkers who you love dearly, and you've shared the gospel with them, and it doesn't seem like anything is settling in, we don't know. And just be persistent in our love. Show them what a Christian lives like. Talk to them about the gospel. Be praying, as Elijah says, every encounter we have with people, look for an opportunity to turn it back to God and his word. I do believe the Lord never gives up on us until we take our last breath. And none of us know for sure. There will probably be people that are not in heaven that we thought were going to be there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to probably see a whole bunch of faces and say, "How did you make it?" and we just don't know. And it's a time like this when you lose a loved one that you have no choice but to trust in God, that he is holy, he is righteous, he is just, and he is incapable of making a bad judgment. And what I do know is this, and that while God hates unrepentant sin, he is so loving and so merciful that he has given us a very easy way to have eternal life with him, and that's just to confess ourselves as sinful and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if you're facing family members, maybe you'll see some of those family members tonight. Maybe you have a spouse or children who have not accepted salvation through Jesus Christ. Be patient but urgent. Look for every opportunity to share the gospel, because you might not be as blessed as I was to have God answer a prayer and say, "Lord, let's take one more swing at this for your glory." And whoever it is, me or whomever, a nurse or another family member, to just have a chance to share the gospel one more time. So I am choosing to believe at this time, to the best of my ability, that my sister was sincere and confessed herself before the Lord and put her complete faith and trust in him. But I'm going to leave it in God's hands. because he alone is holy, righteous, and just, and able to determine the eternal soul of every human being. But never give up on your family members. If you've got children that have strayed, do not give up on them. If you have parents or brothers and sisters who have strayed, do not give up on them. And remember, it is only by God's grace that any one of us have been born again and become believers. So let's run the good race to the end, as Paul said, never failing to share the good news whenever possible. And if it is truly the good news that we claim to believe it is, how can we not help but shout it from every mountaintop and every rooftop? And how can we not help but share it with our brothers and sisters and parents and friends? And I just know that I was very blessed to have God remind me of this, that life is very fleeting. And any one of us could be taken at any time. And let's just use every opportunity we have to share the incredible good news of eternal life with Jesus Christ. We'll be right back.
Have a question for Mike? Email him anytime at comments@standupforthetruth.com. We'll wrap up Stand Up For The Truth in a moment. We're getting ready to wrap up today's show. Stand Up For The Truth is sponsored by Lakeshore Communications Incorporated and made possible by your generous tax-deductible donations at standupforthetruth.com/donate. Now, here's Mike LeMay with some final thoughts.
Where do you give the final word to Amanda today? She said, Mike and Dave, I like your comments on how we cannot always control every interaction our children have with the world. I think the problem is that what is immoral and perverse is now being presented as normal to our children, while our biblical values and beliefs are being presented as abnormal. That's very well said, and that's exactly, Amanda, kudos, 5-star email on that one. We are looked at as the nutcases, because we have the audacity to believe in a God, and we don't believe what people like Bill Nye and Hollywood believe. So, but let's be praying for those people. As Tina said, we are all only made whole by the grace of God. Tomorrow, Julaine Appling of Wisconsin Family Action joins us. Julaine's going to be in Oshkosh Sunday at an event we're going to be talking about with our good friend Dan Weiss from Brushfire Ministries. And then David will have his media segment tomorrow. And one story I'm really looking at tackling, I'll tease it right now, is that some sports reporters from ESPN are just hammering the owners of the Boston Red Sox because a couple of fans a couple nights ago hurled racial statements at an African-American player. And you would think this is 1924 all over again when you listen to ESPN. So a lot of news to cover, and we'll spend some time with Julaine Appling of Wisconsin Family Action, checking in on her perspective on the Trump administration's first 100 days and what's happening in the socialist state of Madison, Wisconsin.
National Day of Prayer tomorrow.
National Day of Prayer tomorrow. Be involved locally. Be praying for our nation. Even if you're not attending the event, be in prayer for our nation, be in prayer for our leaders, and be in prayer for our brothers and sisters around the world who are dying and being thrown in jail every day because they will not refute their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For David Fiorazzo, Mike LeMay, Standing Up For The Truth, have a very blessed day. Be bold, strong, and unashamed of the gospel. The Lord your God is always with you.